Jersey TV.
Somebody made a comment on one of the videos last week or whatever it was that I don't know if I trust this sender guy. He wears glasses, look like Kim Jong-un. So naturally I thought I'd wear those glasses again. Kim Jong-un here reporting from South Florida. How I ever got to South Florida, I'll never know. Anyway, welcome to the end of the week. He wears glasses like Kim Jong-un and he smokes cigars like Fidel Castro. Whatever you want to believe. But when it comes down to the faith, no, we all want to believe the right things. And today, I'm going to share with you, to me, that what is the most spectacular miracle in the scriptures. I mean, absolutely spectacular. There's no miracle that comes close to this. Not even walking on water. Walking on water is, okay, pretty good compared to what I'm going to tell you today. You know where it is. Well, you know about it. I'm going to tell you where it is. Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. This is spectacular on so many levels, and it will comfort you concerning your selection as a member of the body of Christ. It'll comfort you concerning God's control of your money, God's possession of every detail of your life, His appointment of every detail of your life, and that nothing is left to chance. And if life seems random, if things seem to happen by chance, this miracle will tell you that it is in the power of God to impress the hell out of us every single day with magnificent, what we would call, miracles. The fact that He doesn't mean He can't, just means He won't, because, again, we're walking by faith, not perception. I said again, I haven't yet said that today, but we are walking by faith, not perception. So I don't want to see any of these miracles. It's enough reading them in the scriptures. They're in the scriptures for our edification and for our assurance that God is in control of the minutest things. And He can make anything happen at any time. And He's our Father. And like, we're the apples of His eye. We are His favorite people on the planet right now, members of the body of Christ. And so, spectacular miracles. Obviously, God can work them at any time. But again, He refuses to, because it wouldn't be in keeping with the nature of the administration that we're in. So, Matthew 17, 24 through 27. I'm going to paraphrase it for those of you on the audio who wonder why Martin Center's not talking. I'm puffing my cigar. I'm trying to get an impressive amount of smoke here. I would want Fidel to be proud of me. This cigar is burning pretty well. Pretty happy with it. Some from the temple came to Peter and asked Peter if his master paid the double drachma tax. What was the double drachma tax? I'm glad you asked. It was a tax for the upkeep of the temple. It was the equivalent of the half shekel tax of the Hebrew scriptures of the law. Every Israelite over the age of 20 was required to give an annual tax of a half a shekel for the upkeep of the temple. Now, the one thing you really won't read in any commentary, and I don't know how the commentators missed this one, but paying the temple tax, for Israelites to pay the temple tax, was a complete insult, because they are supposed to be supported by the nations. In the millennium, the nations will stream to Jerusalem. The nations will bring their riches into Jerusalem. So the fact that Israel has to pay for the upkeep of her own temple is so insulting and embarrassing and humiliating for them. And we're going to see that with Jesus' question that he asked Peter. I know what my sister's going to say. Martin, why do you smoke cigars? It's such a distraction. Probably so. It's the end of the week. It's Friday. You remember when I did the Revelation series from Sao Paulo, Brazil? Every Friday I would smoke a cigar. I have to admit, it is getting pretty distracting. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop doing it right now. So they came to Peter and said, does your master pay the double drachma tax? Peter said, yeah, of course he does. Then Peter runs to Jesus and it's like, do we pay the double drachma tax? Jesus asks him, is that tax? No, Jesus asks him, the kings of the world, who do they collect tribute from? From the sons or from aliens? And Peter said, well, of course, from the aliens. Naturally, Rome collected taxes from all the satellite nations that were beholden to the Roman Empire. Everybody collects taxes from aliens. I mean, ideally, if you were a chief power, if you were the kings of the world, for instance, you're gonna levy the tax against the aliens, and they're gonna support you. They're gonna support the leadership. Let's say you're still gonna get taxes from your own people technically, but the leadership is not gonna pay any taxes. And Israel is a leadership nation, although now she's in last place because, of course, God has locked them up in stubbornness. But the day will come when the nations will stream into Jerusalem, bring their riches in. But Peter answers, from the aliens. And Jesus said, therefore, the sons are exempt. See, Jesus is looking forward to the millennium when the sons will be exempt. The sons of Israel will be totally exempt from upkeeping their own temple. And the nations will keep up the temple. It will be their honor, their tribute to support the Israelites. But today is a humiliating day for everybody, including Israel. And so Jesus said, we don't want to cause offense. So, oh, by the way, the double drachma is a Grecian measure of coin, from my understanding. And it was equal to a half a shekel. So if Jesus and Peter both owed a half a shekel, they would each owe a double drachma, which would be 4 drachma. Now, it just so happens there was a coin that was equal to 4 drachma, and it was called a stater, also a Grecian coin. So what does Jesus say to Peter? Here's the miracle of the eons right here. This is it. Jesus said, we don't want to cause offense. Take your fish hook, cast it into the Sea of Galilee, and pull out the first fish that bites. Put your finger in the mouth of the fish. You will feel a coin in there. Pull it out. It will be a stater, which is equal to 4 drachma, which will take care of the temple tax for me and for thee. You notice who he tells this to? Peter. Why Peter? Peter's the only guy crazy enough to do it. He was the guy that Jesus said, come out of the boat, walk on the water. Peter does it. Only Peter. Peter was like a child. He had a childlike mind, and Jesus loved that about Peter. He was a simpleton. And the kingdom is made up of such people. Kind of like in the body of Christ, chooses the unwise, the weak, ignoble, and stupid to do wondrous things with. So Peter goes, okay. But he still has to be going to the Sea of Galilee, like shaking his head like, this is going to be something. This is really going to be something. So fish hooks back in that day, there were hooks. They were either made of bone or snail shells. Some were made of bird beaks. So Peter puts a hook on a line. You get a line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line and I'll get a pole, babe. You get a line and I'll get a pole and we'll pull a stater from the fish's hole. So Peter throws in the hook and he gets a bite. Now I want you to imagine that you're Peter. And you pull out that fish. How many fish are in the Sea of Galilee? I don't know. Hundreds of thousands. Peter puts in the hook, brings out a fish. Try to imagine. Peter reaches his finger into the mouth of the fish. And he feels it. He feels it. Pulls it out. It's a stater. I don't know how I would react to that. I might break out in tears. I don't think I would jump up and down. I wouldn't do anything like people do on The Price is Right. Let me just say, it would make my day knowing that my master, the man I'm following around, the man that I've dedicated my life to, can do something like this. Just imagine it. Just imagine. How could you not have confidence in a man after this? I mean, if confidence was lacking before this, I mean, and don't you think, the record doesn't say, there's so many things scripture doesn't say, but Peter had to have run to his companions and say, "You're not going to believe what happened today." I mean, I think he told everybody. Well, no, he just his friends, just the other disciples, maybe, possibly, probably Mary, Lazarus, and the inner circle. There's no way he's going to tell anybody else. I think he was crazy. I know he probably told his wife, for sure. Just imagine, sticking your finger in, and it's there. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday on my run, and obviously it was a miracle. But you know how some people say that, well, miracles, they're not technically miracles, it's just nature working in concert with God. Okay, let's play with that for a little bit. Let's say that somebody at some time threw a stater in the Sea of Galilee, or a fisherman was trying to unload a net and he had a change purse, dropped it in the water, and some coins got down there, stuck in the mud somewhere. Some fish went by, thought it was a snail or a worm or whatever the fish in the Sea of Galilee eat. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't research that. I don't know what they eat, but could be that the fish swallowed a coin thinking it was something else. So probably might have had a hard time swimming after that. I feel an extra weight in my belly. That last thing I ate wasn't too tasty. I thought it was a snail. I don't think it was. It tastes a little metallic. Well, I'm still gonna swim around. So that fish kept swimming around, working with the weight, overcomes it, gets fit probably. It's the first instance of a fish using resistance training to increase its swimming capabilities. So let's say that happened. I think that's unlikely. This is what I think happened. That just as our Lord caused the fish and the loaves to be miraculously brought forth from those baskets over and over and over again, he created that fish and those loaves of bread out of thin air. Say, "No, Martin, there was five loaves and two fishes. He got it from there. That was the raw material." Oh, that was the raw material, really? It was the raw material for five loaves and two fish. That's what it was the raw material for. It was not the raw material for 5,000 loaves of bread and 5,000 fish. Okay, sorry. So that stuff comes, it doesn't come out of thin air. I misspoke there. It came from an act of spirit. Spirit is the power of God. And spirit created that food. So it was not out of thin air. Spirit produced it. Well, I mean, why not? God breathed and Mary became pregnant. God breathed. The spirit came on her and this cluster of cells began reproducing in her sweet little uterus. And you know the rest of the story. So I propose to you that the stator was created in the fish. The fish didn't eat it. God breathed upon the fish, and instead of breathing a zygote into the fish so that the fish reproduced more fish, laid a bunch of eggs. No, no. Instead, the Spirit of God produced a Greek coin. Now, that tells me that Spirit can do anything it wants. The Spirit of God produces a Greek coin within the belly of a fish. Well, I felt normal this morning, but all of a sudden, I feel heavy. I didn't eat anything strange. No, you didn't. It wasn't you, fish. You didn't eat anything weird. You're not so stupid to mistake a Greek coin for a freaking worm or a snail. You're not that stupid. Don't kid yourself. Don't be hard on yourself. Okay. Thanks, Martin. Yep, just... The stator was created within you. Not gradually, but all at once. Breath of God, coin in belly of fish. And I'm thinking that God controls the swimming operations of fish. God controls where fish go. All fish. But this one was kind of special. This one had a certain mission. So God sent the fish to Peter's boat, or if Peter was on the shore, sent the fish. All of a sudden, I just feel like swimming close to the shore. I don't know why. Like, I think I'm exercising my free will. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. So the fish thinks it's exercising its free will. The fish is a Christian, let's say. The fish is a Christian, so it just... I just decided to swim over here today. The fish just decided. Yeah, sure. So, we know how it... We know the truth. God puts his spirit into the mind of a fish. Yes, fish have minds. They have brains. I don't know what they're thinking.
You wouldn't want to know.
No, I probably wouldn't. I don't know what they're thinking, but this fish was directed by God with whatever membranes it has, whatever gray matter might exist in that little fish skull. It swims toward Peter. Now, just as Jesus chose certain men, of all the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus chooses his disciples. Jesus chooses, who was the first guy out on the water? Andrew, Peter's brother. Out of all the people, he picks that one. Just like the people at the pool of Siloam. A bunch of people were there, probably hundreds, and Jesus picks one guy out. Right? He's always just picking and choosing one out of many. One out of many. E pluribus unum. So, this one fish is chosen for the task. Now, it could be that this fish had friends. They do travel in schools. So, this fish could have been traveling along with other fish. Of course, he was lagging behind because I feel heavy. It's hard to swim. God gave him extra power, I think. So, there could be hundreds of fish, but I can tell you for a fact that it's going to be this fish that Peter hooks. I guess it's my unlucky day. Oh, it's your lucky day because you're famous. You're famous. And we are going to see that fish someday. I'm not even kidding. As you know, all fish have souls. Animals have souls because they move. And so that fish, having a soulish body, also has a corresponding spiritual body. For every soulish body, there's a corresponding spiritual body. So that fish, we're going to meet that fish someday. Wait a minute, I know you. Yep, I'm the one. The fish is going to be famous. Fish is going to be famous. So, and it's not... Do you think Peter cooked it? No, Peter did not cook the fish. I don't think so. No, Peter would have been very grateful, thankful for the fish, and he would have spared his life. He would have pulled a coin out and thrown it back. But my question to you is, this is a question I ask myself, and I answered it right away because I knew the answer, so I ask myself rhetorical questions, truth be known. So, My question was, what's the difference between that fish burrowing down into the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, finding a random coin, swallowing it, the right coin, swallowing it? What's the difference between that and the fish appearing by an act of spirit in the belly of, or the coin appearing by an act of spirit in the belly of the fish? I contend to you there is no difference whatsoever. It's a miracle down the line. Here comes a car. This is our neighbor. He's staying, I think. Who is that? Oh, no. I got to find out who this is.
Who dares interrupt MZTV? So I say, there's absolutely no difference between the fish eating something at the bottom of the sea or the coin magically appearing in the mouth of the fish. What's the difference? There is no difference. So every day is a miracle. We're looking for miracles. The fact that our digestive system works is a miracle. The fact that our heart beats is a miracle. God could make another heart appear in your chest. That would be no more of a miracle than the heart that's already in your chest. You see, it's all miraculous. Some of it is just set apart, pointed out to be miraculous because it's so beside nature. But it's not. It's all part of nature. I got to hurry here. I don't know what's going on back here. But this is my point. My point is this. God is so in control of your financial situation. God is so able to move coins in your direction, even paper. And so the fact that he's not doing it, it's not that he can't, it's just that he won't, because it's not time for that yet, because he's exercising our faith. But the beautiful thing is, this is our God. Peter had to have such confidence in Christ after this. It's like, oh my God, this man can do anything. This is bigger than calming the storm. I mean, that was impressive. Walking on water, impressive. But this was absolutely phenomenal. This is the God we serve. This is our Christ. This is the head of the body. What confidence this instills in us. If we didn't have any before, think of that. Think of what he did. And it was easy for him. Cast the hook. Do I have to be careful? Peter said, no, just throw the hook in first. Well, should I go to a certain part of the lake? No, just, Peter kind of talks like the fish. Should I go to a certain part of the lake? He had a fish mind, that man. No, just go anywhere. Doesn't matter where you go. He's not being careful. He's just like laughing. If I was him, I'd be throwing that hook in like laughing, like do-do-do-do-do. I'd be purposely careless. I'd be purposely trying to screw it up. Like, I dare this to happen. I would be really playing the game. And it's like, here's the fish. It's like, and you know. Now, there got to be a little doubt in the guy's mind, maybe. A little doubt. He pulls the thing out. Got to be a little bit of a doubt, but he feels that coin in there. It's like, OMG. I think that's what he said. He was the first guy that came up with that. OMG. And he was hanging out with the son of OMG. And that son of OMG had the power of OMG. And the fish even said OMG. But once Peter threw that fish back, that fish was relieved of its burden, and that fish swam away happy. Lighter, it was in such good shape after carrying around that coin that it was faster than all the other fish. This sounds like a great kid's story. And the fish became faster than all the other fish in the Sea of Galilee because he was exercised by a stater. And he was the Rudolph of the sea. Different, but great.